Now we're turning this morning for our scripture reading to the book of Psalms, and Psalm 124, please. Psalm 124, and let's read the word of the Lord together. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick, when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul, then the proud waters had gone over our soul. And blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Amen, and may God add his own blessing to that lovely portion of the Word of God this morning. Way back in 1582, there was a minister called John Currie. He ministered for the Lord in Scotland, and he did so around Edinburgh. I heard Edinburgh mentioned this morning on the weather on the way up with the snow, and the airport closed because of the snow that came last night in Glasgow as well. They've had an awful lot of snow in Scotland. Well, this dear man was imprisoned because of his faith. He was imprisoned because he was a minister of the gospel. One wonders if we're going to return to days like that again, even in our own land, but we trust the Lord to preserve us from that. But he was set free, this dear man, and there were at least 200 of his friends that gathered whenever he was set free. The number increased until there was almost 2,000 people that were gathered together. And as they began to move up High Street in Edinburgh, they started to sing. And the words they sang were the words of Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us. And so they continued until they completed the psalm. And they kept repeating that over and over again, as this great crowd of people marched up High Street in Edinburgh. They sang in four parts, all joining together in wonderful unity as they moved along the street. One of the chief persecutors of John Currie said that he was more alarmed at the sight of that moving crowd of people and the sound of that particular song than he was than anything else that had ever happened in Scotland before. Psalm 124 is a very moving psalm. And it is one that was written by King David, most likely whenever he was returning with his triumphant loyal army, in triumph, back to Jerusalem again. David and his army had been through hostile territory as they were journeying towards Jerusalem. We're not sure exactly what the dangers were, but it is clear from the psalm that the territory was very hostile indeed. And we find there's one very precious theme that runs throughout this psalm. And we find it in the words of verses 1 and 2. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. I want to pick out the words, the Lord who was on our side. I believe that's what the psalm really presents to us. That's what David was really backing home. And he was bringing great glory to the Lord. And he was reminding himself and reminding his army as they journeyed towards Jerusalem, the Lord who was on our side. Friends, this morning, if you and I know the Lord Jesus as Savior, we are indeed travelling towards our New Jerusalem. And as we do so, we sometimes go through very hostile territory. And more stern will grow the conflict as near the Lord's return. But thank God this morning for portions of Scripture like this. The Lord who was on our side. Now we find just a number of thoughts that I want to share with you this morning about that. First of all, we have the privilege of the Lord's people. The Lord's people have the greatest privilege of any other people in the whole wide world. There are many peoples in the world today, and indeed many of them have privileges. But there is no privilege like the privilege that the Lord's people have. The Lord's people have the Lord. And the Lord's people have the Lord on their side. Of that there is no doubt at all. Now we find here in verse 1 that David said that the Lord was on the side of Israel. Now may Israel say. David makes reference that the privilege of the Lord being on someone on the people's side is one that is peculiar only to Israel. Now Israel was God's people, his own peculiar people. And we find in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verses 6 to 8 there a very apt description of the people of God. Here we find in verses 6 to 8 of Deuteronomy 7 these words, "Thou art an holy people." The Lord's people are a holy people. Then it goes on to say, "The Lord thy God hath chosen thee." They were a chosen people. And then we find, "To be a special people." They were a special people unto himself. And then there were a people that was above all people that are upon the face of the earth. And then we find in verse 78, "They were a loved people. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were fewer than of all people, but because the Lord loved you." They were a people that had been greatly loved of the Lord. Then we find in verse 8, "They were a redeemed people, and have brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you." Here was a people redeemed through the blood of the Lamb. And then we find in verse 8 as well, "They were a separated people. They were redeemed out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." This was the Lord's people, the people of Israel. This was the people that had the privilege of having the Lord on their side. It just wasn't any people, but it was God's people. Now, if you bring that over into the New Testament, we will find that the people of God goes far beyond the parameters of the people of Israel, the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel were a holy people, a loved people, a chosen people, a special people, a redeemed people, a separated people, and the Lord was with them. But then over in the New Testament we find in 1 Peter chapter 2 and 9 to 10 that Peter is writing there, and he speaks of another people. But the Lord's people they still are. But they are not the people of ancient Israel. Here is a people that are now a chosen generation. And the Gentile people that are saved by God's grace. And in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 9 to 10, we read these words, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past," listen to this, "were not a people, but are now the people of God, which hath not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Here we have a people who have obtained mercy from God. How have they obtained mercy from God? They had obtained mercy from God through Christ. They were in time past not a people. They were sinners and separated from God. But here we find they were now the people of God. Through grace and by faith and through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were God's peculiar royal priesthood. Dear friends, this morning this is referring, of course, to every redeemed soul. Every man and woman who knows Jesus Christ as Savior. They are a part of God's family. And they have the privilege of having the Lord on their side. He's with his people. He is captain of their salvation. He is head of the church. He is interceding for his people. He is the shepherd of his flock. Friends, when you and I are confronted with hostile territory, as we travel our earthly journey towards our heavenly Jerusalem, remember this: the people of God have the greatest privilege of any other people, the Lord who was on our side. Not everybody sees that, you know. I think of one biblical example of a young man who didn't see it. Maybe there's someone here this morning and you can't see that either. But I pray that the Lord will open your eyes as the Lord did for this young man. We find reference to him in 2 Kings chapter 6. And in 2 Kings chapter 6 there in verse 8 we read, The king of Syria warred against Israel, took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. 2 Kings 6 and verse 8. Then we find in verse 14 that there came horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night, and they compassed the city around about. Then in verse 15, when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host encompassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Elisha answered in verse 16, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed in verse 17, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Elisha saw the Lord was on our side. The young man didn't see that. All he saw was the chariots and the horsemen and the enemy and the Syria coming against them, and the whole city was surrounded. And Lord, Master, what will we do? And Elisha says, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And he prayed that the Lord would open the eyes of the young man, and the Lord did. And he saw the Lord. Tell me today as you come into church, what do you see? What are you seeing at home? What are you seeing in the family? What are you seeing in the workplace? What are you seeing in new buildings in the surrounding area? Why, so often we can just see the circumstances we're in, the situations that surround us. But here we find the Lord who was on our side. The young man began to see the Lord. He was on their side. Dear friend, this morning, it's so easy to fail to see the Lord in all of our circumstances and situations. But the people of God have the greatest privilege. The Lord is on their side. Tell me this morning, are you one of God's people? Redeemed by precious blood. The Lord's be on your side this morning. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. That as you journey through life as a mommy with children, as a daddy with children, as you journey through life with the demands of family life and married life and work life, Lord's on my side. Privilege of the people of God. Secondly, we notice here when David penned these words, not only the privilege of the Lord's people, but we have a testimony to the Lord's power. David testifies in this psalm, and he testifies to what the Lord did for him and his loyal army by his power in the situations in which they find themselves in. And David does that by using a series of different metaphors, and we find he applies them to the situations. And we find that the Lord who was on their side, David testifies that the power of the Lord preserved them from being overwhelmed. Notice there in verse 3 what he says. Then they had swallowed us up quick. He uses that word swallowed.
swallowed up.
The metaphor there that David is using is this. It's a reference to a famished wild beast. And that famished wild beast is attacking and it's devouring something. And it's swallowing it up and doing it quick. You know how you swallow your dinner sometimes? Really quick, maybe you haven't got time, and in a matter of 2 or 3 minutes you just shove it down. Swallow it up quick. In Exodus 7 and 12 we have a reference of what that word would mean. That would explain what David meant. You remember whenever Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh when it became a serpent. And then whenever the Egyptian magicians cast down their rods, their rods became serpents as well. But Exodus 7 and 12 teaches us that the rod of Aaron swallowed up the rods of the Egyptian magicians. They were swallowed up. And that was done alive, and it was done quickly. And so David is speaking here about being swallowed up by circumstances. Then we find in verse 5, 4 and 5, he's speaking about being overflowed. He says, then the waters had overflowed, overwhelmed us. Notice then the waters become a stream in verse 4. The stream had gone over our soul. Notice in verse 5, then the stream becomes proud waters. The proud waters, or the torrent, had gone over our soul. By on the way down to New Buildings this morning, on the route that I was taking, there was a lot of water. There was literally acres and acres and acres of land that were submerged in flooding as a result of the rain last night. And coming down over the pass, just coming down before you come into, towards the end of it, the waterfalls were gushing down over the side, and such had been the amount of the water. David speaks of waters going over his soul. First of all, it's just the water. Then it becomes a stream. Then it becomes a real torrential torrent, overflowing. You know, dear friends, sometimes the people of God are in situations where they feel swallowed up. And how often that can happen when we're confronted with situations. We can swallow up our faith to overwhelm it. I've seen that happen. We can swallow up our sight spiritually. Swallows up our hope spiritually. But the Lord's on our side. What does he do? He preserves us from being swallowed up. I'm sure you can think of situations in your life's experience. And but for the grace of God, those situations would have swallowed you up and it would have overwhelmed you. But the Lord, he preserves us. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, then we would have been swallowed up. Maybe this morning you find yourself in some situation and really it's overwhelming you. It would swallow you up. Trust the Lord. He's on your side. He keeps us when he's swallowed up. Notice in verse 6 something else that the Lord does when he's on our side. He delivers us from Satan. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Now the figure of the metaphor that David uses here is of a wild beast again. But this time this wild beast is lying in wait. Not just waiting to seize upon its victim, but it's actually got something right in its jaws. It has it between its teeth. And a moment's delay and it would be fatal. But someone comes along, and just in the nick of time, that person delivers the victim and takes it from between the jaws. If you get the picture. That's the picture behind there, what David says. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 we read, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The devil is the enemy of the people of God. And how often the devil he lies in wait as a furious beast. Not always as the angel of light, but very often as the roaring lion. And how often he pounces in the moment of temptation, in the moment of depression, in the moment of doubt, in the moment of compromise, in the moment of fear, in the moment of death. And as it were, we're between the teeth. But then the Lord comes. The Lord is on our side. And what does he do? He delivers us. And just in the moment of danger, at that 11th hour, what does he do? He lifts us. Let me give you an illustration. There's a dear woman in our church, and just last August she was diagnosed with a very advanced cancer. Third degree. Just a young woman, early 50s, her brother's Down syndrome. She's looked after him all her life since her mum and dad died. She was devastated. She was told about the surgery that she would need. We were thankful that at least they offered surgery. She had very major surgery. She'd never been in hospital before. And there was a fear that gripped that dear woman's life that I've never seen the like of before. And we sought to minister to her through the word. We prayed with her. But every time you went to visit, there was this awful fear of this operation. It was beyond something natural. It was really something that gripped her life. And it was as it were, she was in the jaws of the devil with fear. The time of the operation came. And I went into the hospital, not knowing what time her surgery was that day. But I went in good and early. It was about 9:30, I suppose, because I thought, well, they'd be preparing her and so on before that. And I got to the ward, and I inquired, and I was told I was in the wrong ward. I came out of that ward, and I just came out into the area where the lifts are there in the city hospital, to discover right in front of my eyes was the dear woman I wanted to see lying in the bed ready to go to theatre. And I says, Anne, how are you? I haven't a fear. It had completely gone. And she says it was the Lord just left. There she was, right in the jaws of the enemy. But the Lord was on her side. She was a Christian. And the Lord was on her side just at the 11th hour, at the final moment. He just seemed to lift her. And that fear never returned again. See, friends, that's what it means to have the Lord on your side. When you're facing life's biggest struggles, and you're in the jaws of death as she was herself, and the jaws of fear, that the Lord, he steps in and he takes us out of those situations. And he gives us that peace. Thankfully, that dear woman has had her chemotherapy and is doing quite well at the moment. And there's been no fear ever since. Her testimony has been radiant. Her witness has been amazing. She's even seen others come to know the Lord. And she was a very quiet, meek, wee soul that wouldn't have said boo to a goose, if you know what I mean. But the Lord came to her. Are you in the jaws of some fear today? Are you a prey of fear or something else? Lord, on your side. Trust him to give you that. Then notice here we find in verse 7 that the Lord who's on our side, he saves the soul. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. Now the figure again, and David's using these figures all along the way, and I think it's good to explain them so we understand what he's trying to get at.
figure that David uses here is of a little bird. But that's what the word bird means. It's just little. Maybe a little sparrow or something like that. And the fowler, he sets a snare for it. Or a trap. And the bird, of course, it enters in to the trap totally, unconscious of the danger. And then the net is thrown over it. And the wee bird's caught. And the wee bird flutters its wings. And its heart pounds. And it throbs wildly, but it's caught. Its escape is impossible. Completely at the mercy of the fowler. And it struggles to get free, but it can't. But then someone comes along, and he lifts the trap, and the wee bird flies out. Flies away up into the air. And it rests on the branch of a tree. And if I could understand the language of a wee bird, I would say the wee bird singing a song and saying to itself, that was a close shave. The wee bird's been set free. You know, friends, what a wonderful picture that is. A wonderful picture of each one of us, trapped in our sin. By nature and by practice. To save ourselves is impossible, no matter what fluttering we do. No matter what motion we do, it's impossible. There is no hope. There is no way of escape. But the Lord, who was on our side, he comes to the rescue. And he leaves the splendors of heaven. And he comes into this sin-cursed world. And he's led by love to Calvary's cross. And he takes our sin in his own body on the tree. And he's wounded for our transgression. And he sees us caught in the trap and we can't get out. What does he do? He saves us. And he sets us free. And he puts that new song in our mouth. Even praise unto our God. And our soul is escaped from the fowler of sin. By God's mercy, and by God's grace, and through faith in Christ alone. You know, friends, this morning, if it hadn't been the Lord was on our side, every one of us would still be trapped in the snare of the fire. But Jesus came, and through his death, he set us free. And as it were, we have risen in Christ. And he has put a song in our mouths. Friends, this morning, can we not repeat what David said? Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare. Remember, there's someone here today and you're still in the snare of sin. Your soul is still trapped. The Lord's on your side today. And he's right here in the church. We can feel his presence. And he wants to set you free. And all you've got to do is cry out. And when you cry out, he opens the gates, as it were, and you go free. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Testimony of the Lord's power. He preserves us when we're about to be overwhelmed. Is that how you feel today? Trust the Lord. He'll preserve you. He saves the soul. You're not saved. Trust the Lord. He's on your side. And then he delivers us from sin. Jaws of temptation or the jaws of doubt. The Lord's on our side. He delivers us. Trust in him. Notice in verse 7 he breaks the snares.
the snare is broken, and we are escaped. You know, friends, sometimes the people of God are surrounded by many snares. Now, whenever the fowler lays a snare, it's always very cunningly done. It's not seen. It's always deceptively done. So too are the snares that are set for the people of God. We meet them every day. They're unseen and they're deceptive. And in our modern world, there are many of them. Snares of worldliness. Snares of compromise. Snares of possession. Snares of money. Snares of division. Snares of doubt. Snares of unbelief. And the enemy comes subtly with these snares. What's the purpose of them? To hinder us in our walk with God. But then the Lord's on our side. He breaks the snares. And he sets us free. Wonder if you ever been in that moment of temptation when the Lord has really just broken the snare, set you free. I know someone this morning, we over in Lisburn, he's snared all right. There's something in his life, and he's snared. Only the Lord can break the snare. This morning, are you in a snare of some sort? The Lord's on your side. Trust Him. The privilege of the Lord's people. The Lord is on our side. A testimony to the Lord's power. To protect us from being overwhelmed. To deliver us from Satan, to save the soul, to break the snare. I trust this morning that as a result of God's word, that you might know something of the power and presence of the Lord in your circumstances, in your situation, to do for you what the Lord did for David and his loyal army. And that as you and I travel towards the New Jerusalem and do so through hostile territory, that we might know the Lord's power giving us the victory. The Lord who was on our side.